Well, it's the few days after Thanksgiving, and some of us are still getting over that turkey coma that you kind of put yourself into. The other day, I walked into Thanksgiving and looked at the people that were there and thought, man, I'm thankful for all of these and many more. And then I began to go ahead and look at all of the food options as I was carrying in pies and different things that I had labored over. And I really was, because they were still hot, and figuring out how you could carry them was a lot of work, okay? I don't want to imply that I baked them or anything like that. But I'm going to carry them in and just began to look at all the things there, and I thought, wow, all of this is enough to go ahead and not only remind us that it's Thanksgiving, but all of it is enough to go ahead and get our mind off of what Thanksgiving is really all about. And then I began to think just how much life is like that. That there's always so much going on in our life. There's always so much taking place in our life that's competing for our attention, that's competing for our focus. It's competing for what we're going to give our affection and our abilities and our attention to. And it's like that in my life, and it's like that in your life. You see, we have things that go on our job, right? And sometimes there's great things that take place at work, and we've got wonderful things taking place there. But it causes us to drift and think about other things. And then sometimes work can be a struggle. We all know that. That there's heartache that takes place. There's a loss of job. There's not getting that promotion. There's not getting that raise. And that begins to go ahead and take our focus off of what we're there for in that instance. Sometimes there's struggles in life where we face health struggles. And we begin to go ahead and have things like that take our mind from what really is going on around us at that moment. And we begin to focus on so many other things. We get the call and someone is in the hospital. Just a moment ago, just as we're gathering here, we got a call that a friend of ours and Linda's father has been taken to the hospital. He's had some struggles. You know what? When that takes place, it's enough for us to go ahead and say, okay, what is really going on here? And our mind begins to go ahead and look to many other things. And here's what happens in the midst of all of the things, whether it's good or bad or just there, here's what typically happens. What typically happens is this. We begin to go ahead and take our eyes off of God. We begin to take our eyes off of the one that we really need to look to, and we begin to go ahead and focus on all of the things that are going on around us. Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that says we need to keep our eyes on God. But you know, I've noticed something. It was true in this day and age in the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at, and it's true in your life and my life. We tend to go ahead and take our eyes off of God when we get comfortable, right? I mean, as a church right now, we've got a lot of good things taking place. Over the past several months, we've given several thousand dollars to be able to help people that were victims of storms and different things that have taken place. As a church, you got together and you gave more Operation Christmas Child boxes than we've ever done before. We were able to take care of more families at Thanksgiving than ever before. In fact, the last couple of days, we were looking for people to go ahead and saying, hey, we need families to give to and using our contacts out in the community, and it's just been a blessing. Last week in the Thanksgiving offering, you gave above and beyond, and we're going to be able to do some incredible things in our children's area. It would be really easy for us to say, wow, we're comfortable. We're comfortable. We can go ahead and put this thing on cruise control, and we can just go ahead and look at all the things that we've done around us. We can look at some accomplishments. We can look at some numbers. We can look at the good things. You know what? Sometimes the comfort level of life causes us to take our eyes off of God. Sometimes the critical moments, the tough moments, the moment when that phone call comes that someone's in the hospital, the moment that the doctor says, wow, you've got some things that are going on that we need to talk about, maybe that moment when there's some pain and hurt that comes into our life, the loss of a job, the loss of a friend, the struggle that wasn't expected. At that moment, we take our eyes off of God and we begin to look at all the circumstances around us and we say, okay, God, if following you gets me this, then I don't think I need to keep my eyes on you. We take our eyes off of God and we begin to go ahead and drift. And then there's also this one as well. We begin to go ahead and hear about somebody else and the blessings that they're experiencing and the good times that they're having. And we begin to think, wow, you know what? God, I don't know why you're allowing them to go ahead and enjoy some things and I'm not. And we begin to look at them and we begin to look at their life. We begin to see what they're dealing with and what they seem to be getting and how they seem to be getting ahead and we don't understand it and our eyes come off of God. Well, for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about keeping our eyes on God. Even when we're comfortable, even when things are good, we're going to talk about keeping our eyes on God when life is really uncomfortable, when we have that pain, when life seems to be hurting, when it feels like we're all alone. And we're going to understand that sometimes when other people might look at us and wonder what we're up to, or we might look at them and wonder what they're up to, there's one thing that we need to do, and it's just this: get our eyes back on God. Because no matter what's going on around us and no matter what's going on in us, there's one who is always consistent, and there's one that we always need to keep our focus on, and it is God. I want you to go ahead and open up to Psalm 123. In Psalm 123, here's what we get. We get a passage of scripture that many scholars believe that David probably wrote, but here's what one scholar has written about this psalm, and here's what he says. He says, "This is a deep sigh of a pained and troubled heart, which looks around on all sides, seeks friends, protectors, and comforters, but can find none." Do you get that? It says that this is a psalm, maybe from one who was set to be a king, or maybe was a king at that time, and was looking for help, was looking for a friend, was looking for something good all around, but at that point in time, they could find none. So we ask the question, what do we do when we're looking all around and it doesn't seem like we can find the answer? What do we do when it seems like we're looking all around trying to find that person that would help, that person that would care, someone that might be able to go ahead and ease the pain? What do we do when life is good, when life is bad, or somewhere in between? We turn our eyes to God. Psalm 123, verse number 1, here's what the Bible says. It says, "Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens." You see, in some psalms we get this picture of, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills because that's where my help comes from. In this psalm he says, I'm not going to leave any room for doubt. I want everyone to know whom I'm talking to and about. He says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to lift up my eyes to the heavens, because that's where my help is going to come from. So he says, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of pain, in the midst of that struggle, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to lift my eyes up to the one that's in the heavens. He says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us." When you look at that passage right there, that verse, he says, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. He says, you know what? There's some servants in houses. There's some servants that have masters. And just as they would go ahead and give their direct attention to the one who they were serving, who they were giving their life for, he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and fix our eyes on that one until something changes. Verse number 3, he says, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us." He says, "For we are exceedingly filled with contempt." It means literally this: they have a belly full of it. Their life is full and running over with contempt, okay? It says, "Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud." We think about those verses, and here's where we come down. The psalmist gives us a couple of things. He says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to lift up my eyes and I'm going to look to you. And I'm going to look to you just as a servant would go ahead and fix their eyes on their master in our day. Just as it goes on in the house is what the psalmist is talking about. He says the reason we're going to go ahead and look to you is because you're the one that can go ahead and do something about what's taking place right now. You can keep my life good or you can make my life better, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And he says, you know what? One of the reasons that I don't want to look around to anyone else is because all they have for us is contempt. All they have for us is a suggestion like fix it yourself, or maybe you're getting what you deserve. And you know what? We're filled with their solutions. It's not working. It's not making a difference. So what do we do? Well, the psalmist gives us a handful of things to go ahead and do when life is good, when life is difficult. And here's the first thing that he says. He says, I'm going to go ahead and I will lift up my eyes. But where's he going to lift up his eyes? He said, I will lift up my eyes to heaven. One of the things that sets this psalm apart from some other psalms, and it's something that we need to build our life upon, is this: regardless of what is going on in us or around us, we need to be looking above us. And one of the big struggles that you have and that I have is the tendency to go ahead and focus on what we can see. It's the tendency to focus on the circumstances, whether they're good or bad. When life is good, we look at the circumstances and say, man, isn't life so good? And we begin to look at what I have done and what I have accomplished. And we even take our eyes off of the Lord in that moment as if he's not had a part in it. Then when life turns bad, we look at the circumstances and we say, Lord, look at all that I've done for you, and look at how I've done this and that, and this is what you're allowing me to go through. Why am I dealing with this right now? Or we look at somebody else's life and we begin to go ahead and say, Lord, why are you giving them that? Why aren't they having some struggles? Do you know what they did? And we begin to go ahead and make a list, and we just move right down them point by point by point by point. Anybody ever been there, or am I alone in that? You see, I think that we've all been there. The truth is this: it's very tempting to live there. The psalmist says, look, here's the answer. The answer is this: I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fix my eyes on the one who is in the heavens. Psalm 121:1 says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fix my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Well, we look at this psalm and he said, I'm going to go ahead and fix my eyes on the heaven. Why? Because heaven is symbolic for the one who's in total control. Do you know the book of Colossians teaches us this principle? That all things were made by him. Who's the him? It's by Jesus. Jesus was present at creation. It was all made by him, and it was all made for him. And here's what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to fix my eyes on the one who is in total control. Doesn't it make sense when life is good, or when life seems completely out of control, and it seems like chaos, maybe under control just a little bit? Doesn't it make sense that we ought to keep our eyes fixed on him? The psalmist says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to lift up my eyes and I am going to keep my eyes focused on him. Why? Because vision drift will impact all of us. Here's what happens. The moment we take our eyes off of God, who he is, what he has for our life, and what he wants for us, the moment we take our eyes off of his leading, off of his direction, we begin to miss out on things. Why do I want to go ahead and keep my eyes focused on him? Because he's the one that's in total control. But the psalmist tells us something else. He says, I want to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and lift up my eyes to the heavens. And then he says this: as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. And then it says, until he has mercy on us. You see, there's something that's there that teaches us about availability. There's something that's there that needs to go ahead and impact our life. The psalmist says, I want to go ahead and I want to look and keep my eyes on the one who is in control. I want to keep my eyes on the one who is in heaven and holds it all together. But then he says this: I want to keep my eyes on him because he's always available to me. You see, if we go ahead and skip forward just a little bit and we take a look at Psalm 57. In Psalm 57, in verse number 15, it says this, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place." And then he says this, "with him who has a contrite and humble spirit." To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Do you know that that passage in Isaiah is teaching you and I, we can go ahead and we can lift up our eyes to the one who wants to help us. He holds eternity together, but it also says he holds the hearts together of those that will come to him. You see, the psalmist is kind of giving us a picture, as Isaiah is giving us a picture of one who's not just out there and distant, but one who is up close and personal. The reason that I want to go ahead and keep my eyes on the Lord, the reason that I need to keep my eyes on him while there's so many things going on around me, is because he's the one that holds it all together, but undoubtedly, he's the one that cares. He's the one that cares. He says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to look to the heavens because he holds it all together. But more importantly, he cares. Have you ever felt like God might not care? You ever felt like God may not be that concerned about what's going on in your life? You ever felt like God may not be all that wrapped up in what's unfolding in your circumstance and what you're dealing with? You see, the psalmist says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to look to the heavens, as in this life we look to our master right here and we can see him and he can see us and he knows what's going on and he knows what needs to be done. He says, that's what I'm going to do because he cares. You see, Jesus gives us a picture in the New Testament that we can go ahead and we can cast our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. We're given the picture that he will never leave us nor forsake us. If we're going to keep our eyes on something and someone, our eyes need to be kept on him. Not on the world that's falling apart, not on all the bad things that are taking place. We keep our eyes on him because he is the one who's in control. He is ultimately the one that cares. There's something else in that verse that jumps out, and it's this. I need to lift up my eyes so that I can see his direction. You see, I go ahead and I lift my eyes to the heavens so I can go ahead and look to the one that's in control. I can look to the one who can do something about it. But then he says this, I lift up my eyes to the heavens. Why? To see your direction. Did you know what would take place in the houses in this day and age in which the psalmist is writing? You see, the servant of the house, the maid of the woman of the house, as described, would go ahead and here's what they would do. They would just take a seat. They would take a seat and they would sit with their hands folded. And they would patiently wait. And everywhere the master went in the room or outside of the room, they would go ahead and keep their eyes focused on him, because at any point in time, the master, the man of the house, the lady of the house, that they were counting on and that they were there to serve, as they would sit, they would keep their eyes focused on them, so that the minute the master looked at them and just said, "Okay, AJ, this is what you're waiting on. This is what I need you to do," you would be able to respond. The psalmist says, you know what? I'm going to keep my eyes on the master because the master has created me and designed me to be able to go ahead and live a life for him, not necessarily all the things that are going on around me. He has designed me and created me to go ahead and live my life in such a way that when I keep my eyes on him, I'm going to go ahead and be able to do what he asks me to do. And sometimes we want our life to change. Sometimes we want our circumstances to change. If I asked for a show of hands this morning and said, hey, just be honest, how many of you have something going on in your life that you could really use God's direction on? Everybody's hand would go up. And here's the tragedy. Our hands go up, but our eyes look out to other places, to other people, and other things. And all the while, God is saying, if you would just take a look at me, if you would just fix your eyes on me, and you would let me communicate what I need you to do, you know what? You would have the right direction, and you would take the right step. The psalmist said this, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to lift up my eyes to the heavens because he's the one that's in control. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on him because in this life, this is what we do. We keep our eyes fixed on the master so that we know what he wants us to do. Do you know what happens when all we focus on is the circumstances around us? Do you know what happens when our eyes are looking at other people, other circumstances, other places, other things? Do you know what happens? We miss God's direction. What happens when you're looking and your eyes are on the faults of other people? You know what? You're missing God's direction. When your eyes are on the circumstances and you're questioning, God, what are you up to? Do you know what happens? You're missing God's direction. When you look at somebody else and say, man, how are they getting ahead when they're living like that? Do you know what's happening? We're missing God's direction. When life is good and we say, man, life is good. I'm in a great spot right now. Look at this and look what I have over here and look what I have over there. Do you know what we're missing? We're missing God's direction. You see, the psalmist is having a critical point in his life and life is not good. He's pained at heart. It's obvious. He's searching for help. He has no one around and he says, look, I'm fixing my eyes on God. Because he's in control, and I'm fixing my eyes on God because I don't want to miss his direction. He says, even in the midst of needing help, and even in the midst of feeling alone, and even in the midst of the difficulty that we're dealing with as a people, I don't want to miss God's direction. Let me ask you something. Are you more concerned about God's direction or just the circumstances of your life? The psalmist had such a heart for God. He said, I want to keep my eyes on him. I don't want to take my eyes off of him because I might miss what God has for me. Sometimes we miss what God has for us. You know, the New Testament gives us a story of Peter and the disciples being sent out to go to the boat. The Bible says it was dark. They were afraid. The moment they became afraid, they began to look around and wonder. Verse number 26 of Matthew 14, the disciples see an image walking on the sea, and they didn't know what it was. And the Bible says that they cried out for fear. Why? Because of what they saw. In verse number 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But get this, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did he doubt? He began to doubt the moment he began to look at everything else. The Bible very plainly says, and when he saw that the wind was boisterous, when he saw that the seas were rough, he got out there and he said, man, what am I doing out here? I could get hurt in this mess. He got out here and he looked and he said, why would Jesus allow me to go ahead and come to him? Why would that happen in my life? And he saw all of the difficulty and he saw all of the potential harm. And he took his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to sink. He said, the great thing is when he cried out, the Lord saved him, right? They walked back to the boat together and everything was fine. But here's the truth and here's the reality. Anytime we take our eyes off of Jesus, Anytime we take our eyes off of who he is and what he has for us, our direction is in trouble. And some of us like the comfort and security of where we're at because life is good. And we think, I'm just going to go ahead and stay right there and don't need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Some of us are looking out and we see some windy situations in life and we look around and we say, what am I going to do? And the answer to either one of those places is found in the same, to go ahead and lift our eyes to the heavens, because he's the one that is in complete control. He is the one that can go ahead and make the difference. We need to go ahead and lift our eyes so that we can see his direction, because it could be right now in that difficult spot that you're in, or in that great spot that you're in, that God is going to use that situation to advance his mission through your life. But we must be looking at him so we can see his direction. We look at a third thing quickly. Verse number 2. It says, so our eyes look to the Lord, our God, until he has mercy on us. I think it would be great that we would just go ahead and maybe underline, until he has mercy on us. And then he says this in verse number 3, have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. You see, sometimes we go ahead and we say, man, I need to talk to God about that situation. I need to go ahead and lift up my eyes, and I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to talk to him up in the heavens, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask him. I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to ask, and we pray about it one time, and we think, man, it's going to be impolite to ask again, right? Anybody ever thought that? Do you know why we go ahead and feel that way? Number one, we don't want to be selfish, but a lot of times we've had bad teaching and bad information. The psalmist says this, when I keep my eyes lifted up, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to communicate with him. When I keep my eyes lifted up, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to continue to talk with him. We may have been taught by moms and dads, parents, grandparents, that we ask once and anything else is just pushy. But can I tell you something? When it comes to God, keep talking, keep asking, keep that communication line open. Just keep coming back. The psalmist said, until he has mercy on us, until there's something that changes, guess what? I'm going to keep talking. That's what I'm going to do. When I was little, my mom and I would have conversations, and I would come and I would sit down next to her. And I would go ahead and I would sit down just next to her wherever she was, or stand if she was standing, but I would go ahead and she's right here. I just tap her on the shoulder, right? And that's what I would do. And I know it drove her nuts, okay? But when you're like 4 or 5 years old, you're not necessarily sure that everything you do drives them nuts. I mean, you know some things, but I just wanted to talk. And I would just go ahead and I just tap her on the shoulder. And I'd tap her on the shoulder until she looked at me, right? Now, if she was talking to somebody else engrossed in conversation, I wasn't going to do that, because in that day and age, you didn't interrupt an adult for anything, right? I mean, that's just the way it was. That was kind of an unwritten rule. So she's there, and she's preoccupied with something else, and I'm just tapping her on that shoulder. Why? Because I wanted to talk with her. I wanted to have a conversation with her. I wanted to get her attention. It's sad that so many of us come to God, we run something by him, with no passion, with no consistency. We don't say, God, I need your direction. We don't say, God, I'm counting on you. I'm looking to the heavens, and I need your intervention. We say, Lord, if you could get around to it, I'd really like some help. Then we go ahead and we move on. The tragedy is this. The psalmist said, look, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to keep talking to God until he has mercy on me. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus said, men ought to always pray and faint not. And then he goes ahead and he tells a story. And he tells a story about a widow going before a judge. And the widow would go before the judge day and night. And finally, here's what happens. The judge just says, look, I'm really not a good guy. I don't care about this lady at all, but she's getting on my nerves. She's wearing me down. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give her what she wants just to get her out of here. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, if an unrighteous judge, if a common, ordinary man would go ahead and do that, how much more would a good, loving father go ahead and intercede on your behalf? Jesus himself said, keep asking. Some of us need to keep asking. We need to keep looking to him. Why? Because the psalmist said, I'm looking to the heavens because he's the one that's in control. I'm looking to the heavens because he's the one that cares. I'm looking to the heavens. I'm going to go ahead and lift up my eyes. And I'm going to keep asking. Because he's the one who is ultimately my help. The psalmist says, I look around me, and everybody else has contempt and scorn. They don't have the answer. He says, I look around me, and everybody else has what I'm already filled with. And that's not going to solve anything. The psalmist says, I look around, and there's nobody else that truly can help me. I want to tell you something today. You may have some amazing friends, and you may have a great family, but they can't help you like God can. They may have a lot of answers. They may be smart off the chart, but they can't go ahead and help you. I've got a friend, every once in a while I just say he's like Google. I mean, you can just ask a question, you don't have to look it up. You can go ahead and ask him about anything, and it's going to be right. You know what? No matter how smart he is, no matter how many answers he has, he's not God. The psalmist said, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to lift up my eyes because you are my help. He says, the looks of others are discouraging. The actions of others only bring more hurt. The things that are going on around me cause me to ask more questions. And God, I'm just lifting up my eyes and I'm looking to the heavens. Let me ask you today, what do you have your eyes on? Are your eyes on the good things of life that you're accomplishing and that you're taking care of and the great things that are taking place? Or are your eyes on the Lord? Are your eyes on the circumstances that you really want to change? And are you constantly looking at them? Or are your eyes on the Lord? Are your eyes looking to other people and searching for help amongst their answers and their action and their advice? Or are your eyes on the Lord? The psalmist said, I'm going to look to the heavens. I'm going to go ahead and look to him because he's in control, because he cares. I'm going to go ahead and look to him, not just because he cares, but because I can keep asking. And I'm going to look to him because ultimately, he is my help. Today, as a church, we've only got a few weeks left in this year. We're on the verge of having the greatest year ever by far. But as we come into the Christmas season, I'm going to ask you this, to keep your eyes focused on him. Let's not look at all that we've given and all that we've accomplished. Let's keep our eyes focused on him. Let's keep looking to him. I want to ask you in your personal life as a follower of Christ, if you know Jesus Christ, as you're coming into a time that may be a great season for you, or it may be a season that you say, I just don't look forward to at all. The Christmas season brings out the worst in me because of family and because of all kinds of other things that I'm going through right now and this time that we're in. I just don't like it. I don't want it. Can I just encourage you and ask you to keep your eyes on him? To lift up your eyes and look to him. I'm not asking you to ignore other things that are taking place in your life. I'm not telling you that they're not real. I'm just asking you and I'm encouraging you to lift up your eyes and look to him. Because he's in control. He cares. He's the one that is your help. Today, if you don't know Jesus, I want to ask you, if you would just go ahead and look to him to be your Savior, because Jesus loves you more than anything. And if you don't know him, I invite you to go ahead and look to him. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to sing a verse, an invitation hymn. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if there's not been that moment where you've invited him to forgive you of your sin, where you've invited him to to be your Savior. But you would look at your life and you'd say, there's some things that are going on that I just don't like, some things that are bigger than I am, some struggles that I'm having a hard time with, and you need some help. If that's you today, and you'd like someone to pray with you, the moment we begin to sing, just leave your place and come. We'll have someone pray with you. We'll have someone show you who Jesus is right from the Bible and how you can know him. Maybe you're here today. You would say, John, quite honestly, I know Christ. I'm a Christ follower, but right now with things that are going on, it's really easy for me to go ahead and look at all the things that are going on around me, not to look to the heavens where my help ultimately comes from. Maybe today you would want to come and pray, or pray right where you're at and just say, Lord, help me. Help me to look to you. Maybe you're in a great spot in life and you just want to say, Lord, help me to look to you. Help me to keep my eyes focused on you. Whatever your need might be, I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes and look to him. Would you stand with me, please? If you know the words, I invite you to sing along. Most importantly, God speaks to your heart. I invite you to step out and just come and pray. We'll have someone pray with you if that's the need.